This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We knew him when. We move on from that. He's now the national baseball columnist for MLB.com. He's our buddy Anthony Castrovince. Hello, Anthony. How are you, pal?
You know, I'm well. All things are relative these days. Overall, I'm well. How about you guys?
We're doing fine. Where are you, can we ask?
I'm home, like everyone else. I'm
all
home.
Right.
Well, I guess some people are out and about today now, right? Doors are open,
a lot
right?
Of me. Yeah. Is home still Northeast Ohio?
Oh, yes. Home is still right here in beautiful Cleveland. So that's I'm not going anywhere, and that's doubly true these days.
Yeah, that's what we thought. I want to be excited, Anthony. The owners came to an agreement on a proposal. Now they've shipped it over to their buddies at the Players Association. And it's going to die there, isn't it? And it's going to die fast, isn't it?
I don't know if it's going to die. I think there's just too much at stake for it to die. The question is, does this plan see the light of day in general? You know, and that's a bigger question that is still hard to answer. But there's no doubt. I mean, you said they're buddies. I don't think anybody's too buddy-buddy right now when it comes to this proposal. You've seen a lot being kind of litigated in the public space with regard to, you know, how the revenue is going to be divvied up, and can the players still be paid on a prorated basis if the season is taking place without fans in the stands, knowing, you know, what a revenue generator ticket sales are. They're not the revenue generator percentage-wise that they were, you know, when we were growing up. TV has taken over a much higher percentage, but it's still very much a factor in revenues. So, you know, that has to be accounted for, or the owners are trying to make that accounted for. And the players will fight that, and they'll argue about money for a bit, and it'll probably get ugly. But the bigger picture is, you know, there's so much at stake for the sport, and to get itself on TV and in front of an audience that won't have any more Last Dance episodes to watch here pretty soon. So, you know, we need some baseball on the TV. So I ultimately think that some kind of agreement will be worked out. I could begin to guess what it will be, what shape it will take, and, you know, who will have to give more. But I just think there's too much at stake for them not to agree on something. But then even once you get to that point, you know, then we have to be in a place as a country where, you know, this plan can be carried out, you know, on the field. And there's a lot of particulars that go into that that I'm not smart enough, and no offense, but you guys aren't smart enough to know at this point with the, you know, where things are going to head from a testing standpoint and, you know, from a caseload standpoint, all of that is going to intervene here. We've had a very, we have not had a coherent national response to this particular pandemic. So It's hard to know what the shape of our world will be like in a few days, let alone a few weeks or a couple months.
All right, let me ask you this, because Jeff and I were having a debate about this morning, and we're trying to figure it out. So when we hear this proposal, we hear 50-50, okay, that they want to split revenue 50-50. What does that mean for the players? So let's just – and just throwing out a random number, let's just say that they make $4 billion this year, okay, with all the TV stuff, considering they made 10 last year. So I'm just throwing out $4 billion, okay? So now you've got $2 billion, then, if this goes down this way, that goes back to the players. How do the players redistribute that that $2 billion? How does that work?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've kind of already answered that question internally with the $170 million lump sum that they did you know, back when this all started, when the sport shut down. To both sides' credit, you know, they sat down and hammered out an agreement fairly rapidly, given the, you know, what was at stake and the circumstances, to where the players got service time for this year, regardless of whether or not the season is played. And right. they got this lump sum payment from the owners that they can then, you know, divvy up as they see fit. And that's based on, like everything else in the sport, is based on service time, you know. That's what it comes down to. So I don't know, you know, what the exact percentages would be based on years or whatever, but that's kind of where that flows down, you know.
So
the more you're invested in a service time, the more you'll receive than somebody who's a rookie, you know.
Gotcha.
It's been everything we're dealing with is unprecedented. And like I said, all things we're talking about are relative. So these things are nowhere near as important as, you know, other things going on in our country. It's just that it's just fascinating to watch this all take place when the collective bargaining agreement is due to expire after 2021 and the major discussions they're going to have to come with that. And I think all baseball fans should hope that, you know, the agreement they were able to hammer out under really extreme and unusual circumstances, you know, back in late March, early April, is something that could be a basis to, you know, have future agreement on the next CBA. And furthermore, you know, this plan that's being proposed by the owners and the players will start to deliberate over it today. You know, it's got a lot of interesting wrinkles just from a baseball standpoint that are born out of, you know, these wild circumstances, but could have some merit for the future if things are quote unquote normal. And by that, I mean, you know, the expanded playoffs or, you know, the rosters are a little larger, you know, as a function of pitchers needing to be stretched out and stuff. But there will be other, you know, potential. I don't know if they would do the extra inning tiebreakers, you know, speed up a guy on second base to speed up extra innings. And there's all kinds of just really interesting baseball experimentation that could take place if we have an 82-game season. And some of it might have merit in a future, you know, 162-game season.
Anthony Castrovince joining us from MLB.com. Anthony, Major League Baseball owners have always been a little hesitant to kind of show their cards, right, when it comes to finances and everything else. This could lead to that happening, don't you think? I mean, if they're asking for a 50-50 revenue split, they're going to have to open things wide up, I would think. And might not be something they want to do, is it?
If it's something they want to do, it probably would have happened by now. But I will say that, you know, it's certainly been broached before, the idea of a revenue sharing system with the players. But what that equates to is a cap. You know, I mean, that's
right.
This is the only sport without a cap. It's the only sport that doesn't operate, you know, with the split of the revenues that's drawn up in that way. You know, there's been some benefit for the players, to say the least, with the current system. And all things evolve over time, and sometimes what makes sense today doesn't make sense 10 years from now. So I think there's a lot of, as I said, with the CBA, there's going to be a lot of big picture issues at stake. Chief among them, you know, how do we better compensate players in the first 6 years of their career, particularly in the first 3 years of their career? If free agency, you know, it's kind of a stars and scrubs like free agency, where the star players are doing quite well in free agency or did this past winter. But then, you know, the middle of the pack players and the veteran players, the guys who are, you know, getting into their 30s, just aren't compensated the way they once were. So is there a way to address that where players are compensated better in the early stages of their career, so it's not as big of an issue on the back burner? So that's the, you know, they'll be the number one source of contention whenever the next CBA is hammered out.
Anthony, so I want to go back to this roster thing. So let's say they carry 40, right? Is that fair? That they might carry 40 guys?
Yeah, what they'll have is a 30-man active roster and okay. then a taxi squad, so to speak, because, I mean, the reality of all these guys, and this is, again, something we don't know the exact protocol that would be agreed upon, but, you know, what happens when someone tests positive, because that would likely happen, Is your entire roster shut down, or, you know, are you then, I would assume, test everybody and isolate the positive cases, and then you would have to have a reserve squad of guys. So it would actually be upward of 50 players is what's in this proposal total. So you'd have your 30-man roster, and you'd have this taxi squad of, you know, minor league players. There would be a minor league season going on. So you'd have to have a means to have players you can call upon in that circumstance, and also just normal baseball circumstances, you know, injuries and, right, and you know, performance and et cetera. So brave new world where
– if they're not going to do minor league baseball, which is what it kind of looks like, right? So now you've got these other guys, you've got the taxi squad. What are those guys doing every day? I mean, you're not bringing 50 guys to early BP or late BP every day. How do you get those guys work? Do you let them play like a JV game against the other team at maybe a minor league ballpark somewhere else in town? What do you do with those guys? Like, how does that, like, logistically, I see it, but you want to keep those guys ready and sharp, and you don't want them sitting around all summer not playing baseball.
Yeah, and I don't know what's in this final proposal. I know at one point what was being floated was to, you know, have your complex available in Florida or Arizona. But, again, I mean, this is where it gets dicey from, you know, the first bullet point, let alone the 10th or 100th. But it does get dicey because then, you know, to operate, you don't know where this virus could flare up at a given time. It could flare up in Florida or Arizona. It could flare up here in Ohio. And then you have to relocate to perhaps your spring training facility. Well, now that blows up the whole idea of it being tied to region and, you know, the teams in the Central Division playing each other. Because if all of a sudden one of those teams is in Florida or Arizona, they're no longer in the Central. So that's why with this whole thing, and believe me, I'm as optimistic as anybody that it happens, but I'm also of the mind of, okay, wake me up when it does happen. And then when it does happen, right, let's hope we can get through it without having to shut down again. You know, that would be even, you know, maybe even worse than never starting up in the first place. It's just, I don't know. There's still so many unknowns with this virus. We have not tested adequately as a country. When you've tested about 1% of the population, we just don't have a grasp of, you know, how widespread this thing is or is going to get, and how, I mean, they still don't seem to have a great grasp of, you know, who it affects and how badly. It seems to be all over the map. So obviously it is more trained upon the elderly population, but, you know, that's the case until it isn't, you know. So players are at risk if they go through this plan. People on the periphery are at risk if they go through this plan, and that risk has to be embraced for it to go through. And again, I think it would be, but you need just a massive amount of testing, and that testing can't come at the expense of, you know, the medical professionals and the citizenry at large. You know, you can't have a circumstance where baseball is getting preferential treatment over, you know, people who might need the test as much or more. So, it would just be nice if we had some kind of grasp of this thing and again, some kind of coherent plan with this thing, but we really haven't. I mean, we're still kind of fumbling our way through this. And, you know, our state was one of the first to lock down, and now we're opening back up again, and I don't know that have any better of a grasp of it now than we did when we shut down. It's been hard to wrap your mind around.
Anthony Castrovince joining us. Anthony, last thought from me. We've touched on the minor league stuff, and as Andy said, doesn't look like there's going to be minor league baseball this year. I don't know that that's been made official, but it certainly looks that way. If you're not on the 50-man, you know, whatever roster, 30, and then a 20-man taxi squad, what are major league teams telling these guys? Hey, good luck, fellas, and we'll see you later?
I think so. I think, I mean, yeah, if you want to put it down to, you know, to brass tacks, I think that would be about it. This season is a loss for – this year is a loss for so many people, you know, baseball and otherwise. And, you know, you look at the draft, it's going to be shortened to 5 rounds as opposed to 40. You know, you think of the number, just the sheer number of kids that affects. You know, many players will be going back to school another year that weren't planning on it. You'll have college programs infiltrated by both, you know, graduating high school seniors who didn't get to play their senior year, and players who, in many cases, were going to go off to professional baseball and now aren't. You know, there's a lot of money lost for those kids who are going to have signing bonuses that now aren't. And again, all things are relative, and this is a baseball conversation. And there's bigger issues, but yeah, and certainly it's rocked the world of a lot of people, and minor leaguers included. There's no minor league season, which again, that is not official, but it would certainly lean that way, because it's hard enough to imagine, there's a lot of particulars in play just to stage the major league season and a lot of moving parts. And then when you think about a minor league season on top of that, that's a bridge too far, I would imagine. So, 2020 is going to have a big old asterisk slapped on it, no matter what shape the baseball season takes, if it takes any shape at all.
Isn't that the
truth? Just one real quick last question for me, and maybe not that quick. If for some reason they don't play because of money,
oh boy,
and because that's – how devastating could that be to the game? Let's say they could figure everything else out. It gets leaked out that they agreed to everything but that 50-50 split. How devastating could that be to the game? Again, talking about everything that we've talked about, understanding the landscape of the country right now, I don't think there's a lot of fans that are going to put up with the fact that, you know, either the owners or the players or both sides are sitting here arguing about money when there's money to be made.
Yeah. No, I mean, there wouldn't be much tolerance for a fight about money when, you know, an abnormally large percentage of the population is unemployed. And, it's unfathomable. I guess it's fathomable because, you know, major organizations argue about money all the time, but in these circumstances, there's so much greater good to be gained by getting this sport back on the field. I mean, you might gain fans from this experience if you can come back, because you got a lot of eyes trained upon you that maybe necessarily wouldn't have been otherwise, you know? I'm an optimist, and I come down to, there's too much at stake to not come to some sort of agreement. I'm an optimist in that realm, and then I wouldn't say pessimistic, but I'm just realistic that then getting it actually on the field is going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult to get it on the field and to keep it on the field. I hope like heck it happens, guys. I hope we're talking about some fun stuff here soon.
Yep. Yeah, I hope you get out of there and have to go cover baseball. That would be awesome.
Yes.
Yes. Get me out of the house. Absolutely.
Exactly. Anthony, thank you for your time, buddy. Always a pleasure.
Thanks,
yeah,
man.
Guys. I appreciate it.
Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com. Used to cover the Indians for MLB.com, now a national columnist and a really good guy, and we always appreciate his expertise.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.